Okay, I'd like to convene the Ways and Means Committee. We were asked if we were being televised, and now from this point forward, we are. We do have a quorum present, and we do have 13 bills before us, and we will meet as long as it's necessary to get through the bills. Hopefully, we can get through them fairly quickly, but there are some very important bills before us that might generate some discussion, or probably will. So with that, the first bill that we do have up is Representative Liebling's bill, House File 105, Representative Liebling.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. So I move House File 105, the first engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the general register. And I do have two authors' amendments that are, I'd like to get the bill in the shape in which I'd like to have the committee discuss it. If
the motion is before, if you'd care to move the first amendment.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would first move the A4 amendment.
The motion is before us. Would you care to explain the amendment?
Yeah, and just maybe I should just explain the bill really briefly to give some context here. So this hopefully will be the least controversial bill we'll be taking up today. I believe there is all agreement with all four caucuses on the bill. This is a bill that extends, well, it does three things. First of all, it has in it the, for DHS, the 60-day extension of waivers that have been granted under the peacetime emergency. This is up to 60 days to allow counties and the DHS to wind these down when the emergency is over or when the peacetime emergency declaration is over. Secondly, there are some pieces in the bill that extend waivers that are necessary to take advantage of federal funds or that comply with federal law. And then thirdly, there are a series of waivers that are currently in effect that counties and DHS and some providers have worked together on that everyone wants to extend through next session to be able to evaluate them more fully to see if they should be kept permanently. So there is a list of those. So what this amendment does is it adds to that list because this is all moving pretty quickly, and DHS, when we had the hearing in the Health and Human Service Finance Committee, I think yesterday or maybe it was the day before, there was discussion about this. The committee heard about it, but it wasn't quite ready, and a fine-tuned agreement had not been reached yet to include it in the bill. So that's what the A4 amendment does. It just includes another waiver with the others that are in the list. So, so that's the one I would move first, Mr. Chair.
Okay, that motion is before us, and is there any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Liebling, you have another amendment?
I do, Mr. Chair, and this one is just really technical. The A3 amendment, I'd like to move that, and this just makes the, there is one appropriation in the bill. You notice it is at the end, one fiscal section. And this deals with, it uses some of the money from the CARES Act to provide some flexibility in our housing support program. So there is a cost for that, and the amendment just makes this a one-time appropriation.
Okay, so the amendment is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Liebling, you've kind of explained the bill, but any further comments?
As members may imagine, there's, we could go through this for a long time because there are a lot of separate waivers here. And but I think given the press of business, the important thing I think for me to convey to you is that there's been a lot of work done on these by a lot of different partners. And I really am very confident that there is four caucus agreement on this bill. Senator Abler and I have worked closely, and the agreement from the beginning was that if this is not agreed to, that if something in here isn't agreeable, it comes out. So in fact, some things have come out. Some things have been kept out because they weren't agreed to. So this is really important. There is one key thing I think I should say here, Mr. Chair, and that is there's been a lot of discussion about the governor's, whether the governor's acting on his own and what the legislature's prerogative is. This is the legislature asserting itself. This is a bill that says we're going to decide that certain things are going to have authority to continue after the governor's peacetime emergency powers are ended. We've decided that the counties should have the ability to wind things down in certain areas or to continue certain practices that they've found beneficial during this interim so that we, the legislature, can examine them next session and make decisions about them. So this is a bill that I think that legislators should feel happy with because it really is about us exercising our legislative authority.
Okay, any further discussion on the bill? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Representative Lee. Thanks for offering this.
You sound like you're from the speaker. Can you maybe get a little, or you're not very
How about
clear.
Now? Yeah. I probably have too many applications open, probably. Representative Liebling, I just want to make sure that the extension is still until June 30th of 2021.
Mr. Chair, yeah, and Representative Garofalo, that's right. And we played around with the date a little bit. That's there because the idea is that we will examine them during next session. There was no reason to have sort of an artificial sunset. This gives us the full legislative session, and it gives everybody's, unless we decide to end them early, which we could certainly do, they end at the end of the fiscal year. I also almost forgot to mention that this was heard in Health and Human Service Finance. It passed 20-0 out of committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Representative Liebling. I'll be voting yes, so I'd encourage my colleagues to vote yes as well. Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion?
Oh, Mr. Chair. I just want to clarify something that I was just reminded. The fiscal piece, the housing support piece, Representative Garofalo, actually expires December 30th of this year, and that's because that's when the CARES Act money expires. So just want to make that clear.
Correct. Yep. Thank you.
Okay, very good. If there's no further, Representative Druskowski. Did you hear Representative Druskowski?
I did. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if Representative Liebling would respond to a question.
Sure.
Representative Liebling, or Representative Druskowski, your question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So Representative Liebling, can you kind of characterize, I'm reading these waivers and the modifications as are described here. It's just a short description. Are these state dollars or federal dollars that are funding these expanded eligibilities, and are they all expanding eligibility and timeframes? Can you kind of characterize for us what they are?
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, they're mainly are Medicaid dollars, which is part state and part federal. I mean, as I explained at the beginning, there's kind of several buckets here. And some of these things have actually saved money. I mean, a big chunk of this is what people are calling tele-everything, which is allowing a lot more use of remote contacts with clients. So there's that. It's not really changing. There are a whole bunch of them. Let me see here so I don't say anything that isn't really correct. So we have some of them, as I said, have to do with federal law and taking advantage of federal availability of funding or meeting federal law as we're required to on certain things. Then there are these waivers that the counties and providers and DHS have worked on. And a lot of those are the tele-everything. They are, some of it is making it easier to access programs that are already authorized, allowing remote delivery of services for people with disabilities who can't get to the places where they would have gotten the disability. So it's the only fiscal portion of this bill is that housing support portion that I mentioned, because that's a state-funded program. So in order, and what the waiver is doing there is allowing people who have been in the hospital, especially for COVID, but not only for COVID, to keep their housing open while they're in the hospital so that they don't lose their housing slot. So there is some additional funding required for that. And we are using the CARES Act funding to be able to extend that waiver. So other than that, that's the only fiscal piece in the bill. And if you have a more particular question to that, it'd probably be better to have somebody from DHS respond. But there's so many different things in here. That's kind of the best I can do.
So, Mr. Chair.
Representative Roskowski.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Liebling. I don't know who could answer the question, but does us passing this bill in any way, what's the word I'm looking for, validate or support or otherwise ratify or anything like that the executive orders that the governor has laid out? Could any of these be construed to do that? And also, is that the intention of the author to do that or not?
I might just want to mention to members, because we do have 13 bills, that our role should be mainly that of discussion of the fiscal impact of the bill. Having said that, we generally provide some latitude, but if you could kind of keep that in mind as we move forward. Representative Roskowski.
Well, I think I've laid the question out there for Representative right. Liebling, if she could answer.
Yeah, thank you. I'll try that. We also have fiscal staff from DHS on the call, and they could answer more specific questions about that. But as I explained before, the governor has, under his executive orders, has allowed DHS to issue waivers in a lot of areas to allow counties and other partners to provide our programming in a way that makes sense during the emergency. And so that's been happening under his executive orders. When that peacetime emergency ends, whatever waivers have been issued under that peacetime emergency would automatically terminate. And that would mean that every one of our counties who is operating and every one of our providers for disability service and so on, it would be like a switch was thrown and they would be done and they would have to stop. And so one of the very, very important things that this does is it gives a 60-day wind down period for those things, so that when that authority is terminated, there is this ramp down period, because it would be extremely burdensome and difficult for everyone to do that on a dime. So anyone who wants to be able to shut off the governor's emergency authority should support the idea of having this ramp down period. And I think that's why the four caucuses, maybe not the fifth, I don't know, but the fourth have agreed on this, because everyone understands that that's the fact. Then there are other waivers in here that would terminate within that 60 days that we have been looking at with DHS, with partners, with counties. People have found out during this time that there are things that work very well. They've said, hey, why haven't we always done this? Maybe we should think about continuing it. And so we want to continue some of these into next session, through next session, so that the legislature has an opportunity to examine them and say, hey, maybe we want to let the counties continue doing this forever. Let's see what the fiscal impact might be, if there is any. Maybe we can deliver services better this way. Maybe we have better outcomes. So we've asked the counties to gather information to come back and then make their pitch, if they choose to at that time, about why these things should be considered. So it's very much about legislative prerogative. So, you know, I think that, so rather than just rubber stamping anything, this is about let's us look at these things as a legislature the way we're supposed to do.
Thank you, Representative Liebling. Your final description was your best, and you properly counted the number of caucuses. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, if the clerk will take the roll, and I would ask that members, just like on the House floor, remember what our procedure was, that we haven't been voting recently, and that's if you could give your name and then whether you're voting aye or nay, and then the clerk will repeat that. We were requested to do that, so it was very clear on how people were voting. So, Laura, if you could take the roll.
Have we renewed the motion?
Oh, if we need,
thank you.
You want to renew your motion, Representative?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I renew my motion that House File 105, first engrossment as amended, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, then clerk will take the roll.
Representative Carlson?
Carlson.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Olson, aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Garofalo, aye.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright, excused. Representative Bernardi?
Bernardi, aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids?
Davids, aye.
Davids, aye. Representative Dabney?
Dabney, aye.
Dabney, aye. Representative Drazkowski?
Drazkowski, aye.
Drazkowski, aye. Representative Eklund?
Eklund, aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
Hamilton, aye.
Hamilton, aye. Representative Hansen?
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman?
Hausman, aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertaus?
Hertaus, aye.
Hertaus, aye. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha, excused. Representative Liebling?
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Long, aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Poppy, aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher, excused. Representative Scott, excused. Representative Torkelson?
Torkelson, aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative Vogel?
Vogel, aye.
Vogel, aye. Representative Wagenius?
Wagenius, aye.
Wagenius, aye. 25 ayes, 0 nays.
The motion prevails. The bill will be placed on general orders. The next bill up is by Representative Pinto, child care assistant provider. And Pinto is not on the committee, so Representative Olson, would you care to make a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move that House File 41, the first engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, the motion is before us, and Representative Olson, there is an amendment, but would Representative Pinto, do you want to take the amendment first? Is Representative Pinto?
Yes, I am, yes, Mr. Chair. And the amendment simply adds, there's a systems cost to implement this of $53,000 per in the first 2 years that's necessary. Oh, pardon me.
So, Representative Olson, would you move the amendment?
Sure, Mr. Chair. And I have to make an oral amendment to that amendment that was brought forward by staff. So I'll move the A5 amendment incorporating the following change, that on line 1.8, we remove $17,367,000 and substitute for $16,976,000.
Okay, that's incorporated in the amendment. So the amendment is before us. Representative Pinto, any further comments about the amendment?
No, Mr. Chair. It simply adds the system cost that is the department indicates is necessary to have this work. And it does match language that will be, I think, appearing later in the day, later in the committee's agenda as well.
Okay, any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Pinto on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 41 is a version of a proposal the committee heard during the regular session. It would increase the rates that are paid to providers to for care for low-income families for child care from what is really, we're one of only a couple states in the country that have the rates that are as low as we have. We are out of federal compliance in those rates. Rates are set based on a survey that occurs every 3 years. Our rates are set at the 25th percentile of that survey, going down 75 slots, and then down to the survey that occurred in 2011, so nearly 10 years ago. There's a requirement, actually from the Trump administration, that states have at least meet the 25th percentile of the current survey. And of course, and the benchmark states are supposed to be hitting is the 75th percentile. We certainly would hope that that care that our kids would be receiving and families would be receiving would be more at that benchmark. So what this proposal does is get us to the 30th percentile of that current survey. There is considerable federal funding that has been building up the last couple of years to pay for that. There's expected to be continued federal funding as well. Many other states have counted that in the fiscal note of the tracking sheet, though ours does not. And there is a penalty that will be paid if we do not make this change of several million dollars, and we'd hate to be paying that as well. So for all those reasons, I very much appreciate your support for the bill. I'm happy to answer questions.
Any discussion? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Pinto, is the spreadsheet online accurate that this will have a tails cost of the general fund of $86 million?
Ms.
Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Garofalo, counting it as our state does, that's accurate. I should note that many other states, I think maybe even the majority, do count anticipated federal funding that should decrease that quite a lot. There's been about $30 million per year that's been quite steady, and that has not gone down in the history of the program. In fact, there's quite a lot of bipartisan support to increase. So, but if you assume $30 million per year, then you can take at least $60 million off of that. But yes, in terms of the MMB calculations, and as far as I know, that is correct.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Pinto, in light of how we report expenditures in the general fund, why would we not just have this extended through fiscal year 21?
Mr. Chair, if I'm understanding your question, Representative Garofalo, if we have a cliff set up, we've got families, providers, employers, communities that have in front of them the situation where rates go up briefly, then they plunge back down to rates that, again, were set about, at that point, it will have been more than 10 years ago. That seems like not a good approach for our state to be taking. This is absolutely critical. This is early care and learning. Those first couple of years are absolutely critical. So the thought that we'd have rates go back down, that seems deeply concerning.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Pinto, it seems to me that it would be, if the revenues are going to come in as you project, there should be no problem just extending this till June 30th of next year. And then the next budget session, when the federal government comes through, then we can budget that extension into the future. That would seem to be prudent budgeting. Why wouldn't we not do that?
Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative Garofalo, one challenge for that is that we're talking about responsible budgeting. Let's remind ourselves that our child care providers, nearly half of them are on public assistance right now. We are spending dollars to pay for them to be on public assistance because the rates, the payment that they receive is so low. This is across the industry. Meanwhile, parents are paying just a huge percentage of their income. So we talk about budgeting. I guess I have the concern that as of now, if parents and families and providers are looking out and seeing a cliff coming up in a year, that puts them in an extremely precarious position. So I understand what you're saying. I guess it does seem to me, Representative Garofalo, we can kind of hit this two ways, right? assuming that federal money comes in, or if that federal money doesn't come in, then I suppose, you know, we make adjustments in the future as we need to. I would just rather have that burden be placed on us rather than on those low-income families, and really, let's face it, low-income providers, to be put in this tough position across every one of our districts, because this is an issue in every single one of our communities.
And Mr. Chairman, Representative Pinto, is there a reason why you couldn't make the appropriation contingent on federal funds so we don't increase the deficit in the tails?
And Mr. Chair, and Representative Garofalo, well, again, a significant problem with that is that then you've got families and providers and communities who have that cliff sitting out there. So I guess it's my view, Representative Garofalo, this should be, I cannot think of a higher priority than getting every one of our children off to a very good start. And that should start with our lowest income children where there's the biggest gaps. And that is what this is about. So if you think about the impact on families, on employers and communities, and there may just be a difference of opinion on this, but my thinking is that if we possibly can, we should be making a continued long-term commitment to this. And again, we have the federal funding to get us started and indeed to continue, and we should power on through, in my view, and we may disagree on that.
Mr. Chairman, we have a budget deficit. I'm opposed to us increasing the deficit. I'm in favor of us solving it. I'll be voting no on this bill, and encourage my colleagues to do the same. Thank you.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for the author of the bill as well. Representative Pinto, what I'm trying to get through between documents here, but the numbers, the base has increased $17 million in 2022 and then another $22 million in 2023. And you said if we don't do this, the federal government will fine us how much?
Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Drazkowski, it would be a check written by us to the federal government of between $3 and $5 million in the next couple months.
Okay. Is this, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Pinto. Is this the same child care program that was found to be fraudulent, somewhere between $7 million and $100 million?
Representative Pinto.
Representative Drazkowski, I don't know that those numbers are accurate. I don't know that they necessarily are. This is the same program that we had some pretty massive changes to last session, and I'm happy to send you. I'm looking right now at a document talking about the pretty amazing continuous improvement steps that have been taken, and lots of law changes that were made last year. I think if you take a look at it, you'll be extremely impressed. And I know that we all did a lot of work last year. Part of integrity in a program is making sure to be paying the rates and having the payments go out that are actually consistent under the program. And paying rates that are 10 years old, that does not make any sense and is not part of the integrity of a program, in my view.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Pinto, I'll be voting no too. This is a bloated program that's had huge failure in the past. We still haven't been shown that it's been fixed. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion? Representative Liebling.
So I just have to respond to that, Mr. Chair, because yes, we have been shown that it's been fixed. I don't know if Representative Drazkowski hasn't paid attention to that. But I think what Representative Pinto has said quite clearly is, yes, we have been shown that. And not only is this the same program, these are the same Minnesotans. These are our kids. And if you miss a year in a child's life, you've missed that year. So I get it that there's this, you know, we have drawn this line, no state spending, et cetera, et cetera. This is a really high priority thing. And just to have that out there as a last word, no, that is absolutely wrong. There is a ton of work that's been done in this program. Representative Pinto did most of that, worked very, very hard on this. It was in our 2019 Omnibus Health and Human Services bill, and it's been implemented. We've had hearings about it. We've heard what's been going on. So it is time to put money into this program. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Olson, would you care to renew your?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I renew my motion that House File 41, the first engrossment as amended, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, Ms. Markman, would you take the roll?
Representative Carlson?
Carlson, aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Olson, aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Garofalo, no.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright?
Albright, no.
Albright, no. Representative Bernardi?
Bernardi, aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids?
Davids, no.
Davids, no. Representative Dabney?
Dabney, aye.
Dabney, aye. Representative Drazkowski?
Drazkowski, no.
Drazkowski, no. Representative Eklund?
Eklund, aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
Hamilton, no.
Hamilton, no. Representative Hansen?
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman?
Hausman, aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas?
Hertas, no.
Hertas, no. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha, excused. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Long, aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani? Representative Mariani?
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Poppy, aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher, excused. Representative Scott, excused. Representative Torkelson?
Aye.
Representative Torkelson, aye. Representative Vogel?
No.
Vogel, no. Representative Wagenius?
Wagenius, aye.
Wagenius, aye. 19 ayes, 7 nays.
The motion prevails, and the bill is on its way to general orders.
Mr. Chair, members.
Thank you, Representative Pinto. And the next three bills deal with public safety. And the first one that we will have before us will deal with a Senate file, because we did receive the Senate file today. So Representative Mariani, if you could make a motion.
Mr. Chair, are we speaking about House File 1?
Yeah, we're taking your first one. This is Senate File 3, which is your equivalent to House File 1. So what you need to do is move Senate File 3, the first engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the general register. Is that your motion?
Mr. Chair, that would be my motion.
Okay, and then Representative Mariani, are you prepared with your next motion, which would be to substitute your House language into the Senate file?
Mr. Chair, I would so move House File 1 into the Senate file.
Okay, the motion is before us. Would you care to explain the amendment?
Mr. Chair, House File 1 is the Reforming Accountability Act of a three-act package of bills that responds to the tragic events that were triggered on May 25th in our state. I'll be real brief. Everyone here knows what we're talking about in terms of yet another killing of an African-American man at the hands of a police officer licensed by our state to provide public safety for the public. House File 1 comes at this issue from the perspective of making sure that there is strong accountability for the wrongdoing, in this case, for the wrongful death of a citizen at the hands of a police officer. There are four major components to House File 1. The first component is the prosecutorial reform, which moves the authority to prosecute such instances to the office. It's currently a local county attorney function. The second part of that is the investigatory reform, which establishes a special unit within the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension specifically to investigate these deaths through the use of use of force in the hands of police officers, and so to further enhance the independence of our very good Bureau of Criminal Apprehension investigatory powers. The third shifts the legal standard of the use of force in Minnesota law that in a nutshell moves the standard away from a heavily subjective decision-making on the part of the peace officer to one that is more subjective and based on a reasonable standard, and that does so within the context of affirming the sanctity of life and respecting the human rights of citizens. And then the fourth provision is a cash bail reform carried by Representative Noor. All of these provisions are carried by members of legislators of color and or indigenous legislators in our body. Mr. Chair, I do have an amendment to this.
Do you want to take the author's amendment now?
Mr. Chair, yes, please. It's the
A1. Okay. So your first motion was to move that the language contained in House File 1, the first engrossment, be substituted for Senate File 3. And now we'll take up the author's amendment. So Representative Mariani, would you care to move that amendment?
Mr. Chair, yes, the amendment to the amendment is the would then be the A1 amendment. This establishes an appropriation for the Attorney General's 1.636, and then an appropriation for the independent unit at the Bureau of Criminal Apprehensions of 3.3.65, and then spells out that that appropriation produces a base budget. So we're going to continue this into the base for the Department of Public Safety within which the BCA is located.
Okay, so that's the appropriation section basically then. And
sorry for interrupting, there is a policy provision there as well, which makes clear that the unit, the special unit within the BCA, shall investigate all criminal sexual conduct cases involving peace officers.
Okay, that's the amendment. And any further discussion on the amendment to the amendment? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Mariani, this is the A21 amendment, correct?
That's correct.
Well, Mr. Chair, let me make sure we have the right number here.
Well, the one I have in my notes is that you moved the H1A21 amendment to the amendment.
Mr. Chair, this is Nancy.
Is there some doubt, Ms. Conley?
The way that the amendments are drafted, the first motion to adopt the House language is what's in order. Get that before you, then you can move the A21 as a standalone.
Okay, that's goes back to my question of when Representative wanted to take it up. So let's vote then on the first amendment, and then we'll take up the amendment to the A21. Okay, with that, we're voting on the first amendment. Any discussion on that? Rep. Sam Garofalo?
Your hand. Okay. No, sorry.
Further discussion? Seeing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion no.
Let's see, then we're going to take up the amendment we were just talking about with the appropriation and some policy language. Perhaps Representative Mariana, you just want to summarize what you told us earlier so everybody's clear on what they're voting on.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, this does the appropriation for the Attorney General for fulfilling the mandate here of having the primary jurisdiction over the prosecution of officer involved deaths, as well as appropriates for the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension within the Department of Public Safety to do the independent, to have the independent unit we're creating be properly resourced to do investigations of those prosecutions.
And I'm reminded that this is a standalone amendment, just to clarify that. Okay, so the motion is before us, and Representative Druskowski, you have your hand up. Representative Druskowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Mariani. Representative Mariani, both the original language prior to the amendment and the amendment itself refer to, quote, other public officials accused of crimes. Does this include legislators, governors, statewide elected officials? Who does it all include?
Mr. Chair, Representative Stowski, I believe that is the case. So we can certainly ask legal counsel. We have legal counsel from public safety here with us today.
You're deferring that?
Mr. Chair, just to be sure, I believe Mr. Diebel might be with us here today.
Mr. Chair, this is Jeff Diebel. Could you have Representative Garofalo repeat the question?
I think it was from Representative Druskowski. And Representative Druskowski, could you repeat your question?
I can, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Mr. Diebel, other public officials accused of crimes, who does that include, Mr. Diebel?
In the amendment, is that, Mr. Chair, is that what the question is?
It's part of the amendment, as I understand the question.
It appears in the amendment and also appears in the original language that is stricken by the amendment as well.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I lost the link to it, but if you could read it to me, public official, I don't recall that being.
I'll read the whole sentence to you, Mr. Diebel. Yeah. The unit may also investigate conflict of interest cases involving peace officers and other public officials accused of crimes.
Oh, okay, yeah, thanks for clarifying that for me, Representative Druskowski. I think it would be any government official or employee where they have a conflict within at the local level, be called in to make sure that the police officer, the police department isn't investigating people they work with at the local level.
Well, I do, Mr. Chair, realize my question's not a fiscal one, but my opinion is there should be someone investigating those behaviors, but I'm not really clear on it. So I'll leave it at that, and the author can ponder on that as it goes forward. Thank you.
Maybe Representative Mariani, as it does move forward, maybe that could be clarified by legal staff in a little more detail. Okay, any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion.
No.
We're getting some delayed no's, but the motion. Okay. Motion carried. And now we have the bill before us as amended. Representative Mariani, do you have any further comments?
Mr. Chair, just to be clear, since we are the Ways and Means, there is a spreadsheet in everyone's packets. And so there is a cost in the on this biennium of $5,001, and then in out into the tails in the next biennium, it's a $9.816 million cost.
And any further discussion? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Mariani, I'll be opposing your bill and asking members to oppose it as well. Purely on the fiscal issues, the fact that this spends money that we don't have is not responsible budgeting. I would ask for another vote. Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Mariani, would you care to renew your motion?
Mr. Chair, I would renew my motion that Senate File 3 as amended be referred to the general.
Okay, the motion is before us. Representative Mariani moved that Senate File 3, first enrollment as amended, be recommended to be placed on the general register. Any further discussion? Seeing none then, Ms. Barkman, if you could take the roll.
Representative Carlson.
Carlson, aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson.
Olson, aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo.
Garofalo, no.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright.
Albright, no.
Albright, no. Representative Bernardi.
Bernardi, aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids.
Davids, no.
Davids, no. Representative Dabney.
Dabney, aye.
Dabney, aye. Representative Drazkowski.
Drazkowski, no.
Drazkowski, no. Representative Eklund.
Eklund, aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton.
Hamilton, no.
Hamilton, no. Representative Hansen.
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman.
Hausman, aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas.
Hertas, no.
Hertas, no. Representative Hornstein.
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha, excused. Representative Liebling.
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly.
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long.
Long, aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani.
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt.
Marquardt, no.
Marquardt, no. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor.
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski.
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy.
Pass.
Poppy, pass. Representative Schumacher. Representative Schumacher.
Schumacher, no.
Schumacher, no. Representative Scott, excused. Representative Torkelson.
Torkelson, no.
Torkelson, no. Representative Vogel.
Vogel, no.
Vogel, no. Representative Wagenius. Representative Wagenius.
Wagenius, yes.
Wagenius, aye. 16 ayes, 10 nays.
Okay, the motion prevails, and the legislation or the bill is on its way to general orders. We now have the second public safety bill before us. This one deals with critical incident stress management information, certain information prohibited as evidence, law enforcement use of force reported, critical incident review process established for peace officer involved shootings. So we now have the Senate file. Member Senate File 1, again, came from the Senate today and was sent to Ways and Means. That bill lines up with House File 92. So we will work from Senate File 1. Representative Mariani, would you care to make a motion?
Sure, I may need your help here, but I believe the motion is to have Senate File 1 that we said?
Yeah, we're moving Senate File. Do you want me to make the motion? I've got...
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, yeah, Representative Mariani moves Senate File 1, first engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the general register. So that motion is before us. And then the second motion, Representative Mariani, would be that you move that the language contained in House File 92, first engrossment, be substituted for Senate File 1. So what that does is put your language in the Senate file. So any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carried. Now, Representative Mariani, you have a couple of amendments.
Mr. Chair, I do. I have an amendment and an amendment to the amendment. So I would then move the amendment, A7.
Okay, that motion is before us.
Mr. Chair, I do understand then that A8 would need to be moved as a stand-alone amendment. When I was originally approaching this, I was approaching it from the House file, moving the House files. But the let me just describe the A7 amendment. The A7 amendment does a number of data collection and regulatory reform changes to the bill. It's really the core.
Can I get done with these, please?
It's the core of the bill. It clarifies the creation of the Police Community Relations Council within the board, the functions that it needs to carry out relative to notifying law enforcement agencies. It also adds a number of data privacy recommendations that came from conversation and judiciary, primarily from Representative Scott, in terms of making sure that there were audit trails and accountability for the proper handling of data, of peace officer information data, so that if there's leakage or loss of that data, that entity would be held accountable. There's also a clarification of the residency requirements within one of the other provisions in the bill that makes it clear that residency requirements apply to peace officers only, and that it applies prospectively in terms of applying to new hires. There's also technical changes. We debated this quite a bit and wrestled with coming up with the technical language. The group then worked that forward related to the defining a chokehold and clarifying that neck restraints may only be used as an authorization of use of deadly force within that definition and state statute. And then finally, Mr. Chair, there are three appropriations corrections within this amendment. One is for $475,000 for the database that's being created in the Police Officer Community Policing Excellence Report. There's also $1.9 million to local units of government as they are mandated for the creation of the citizen oversight councils in local jurisdictions of 50 peace officers or more across the state. And then there's a small appropriation of $17,000 for the Pulse Board for costs associated with this act. So, Mr. Chair, that is the A7.
Okay, and I received a text that I forgot to ask for those opposed to the previous amendment. So members, my error, so we'll vote on that first amendment again if everybody's clear on that. Those in favor of the first amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No.
Okay, there were no votes. I'm glad I asked. All right. Now we have the current amendment before us. Any discussion? Seeing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
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 Motion carried. Representative Mariani.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And let me find my amendments here.
We've just voted on the A7, so I think we're done.
No, Mr. Chair, there are a couple of other amendments.
Okay.
There is a A8 amendment.
Okay, I see it there. Yeah. Okay. Do you want to move the A8 amendment?
Mr. Chair, I would so move.
Okay. The motion is before us. Representative Mariani. Want to explain the amendment?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to ask staff to describe this amendment for me really quick.
Okay.
This is John Walsh from House Fiscal Staff. Are we on the A8 to House File 92?
That's correct, yeah.
Mr. Chair,
John, John, hold on one second. This is Ben Johnson. I just want to clarify. The committee just adopted the A7. I believe Chair Mariani actually walked through the A7 for House File 93. I believe what the committee was meaning to consider was the A7 for House File 92, and the A8 amends that amendment. So it might have made sense to take up this A8 amendment to the amendment first. Mr. Walls can explain what that A8 would do to the House File 92 A7.
So do we need to reconsider that previous vote then?
Mr. Chair, that would seem wise, just so that members are fully aware of the language that they're voting.
Okay, so Representative Mariani moves to reconsider the A7 amendment. Is that the one you want to reconsider?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? I think everybody knows what the situation is. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion no. Carried. The amendment is now before us. I think you probably want to withdraw it.
Mr. Chair, withdraw that amendment.
Okay, and now move the appropriate amendment.
Mr. Chair, I will move the A7 amendment to House File Number 93, which is now Senate File. Okay, I'm going to ask for help.
Mr. Chair and Representative Mariani, Ben Johnson with House Research.
Yeah, Mr. Johnson.
So I believe that the committee is currently considering what was House File 92. So the amendment to consider right now is the A7 to House File 92. Before adoption, I believe Representative Mariani intends to move the A8 to amend the A7 amendment. I hope that's clear.
No, I've got a question here. The motion would be to move the House File 92 A7 amendment. and then we want to take up the A8 first, the amendment to the amendment. Is that what Mr. Johnson is suggesting?
Mr. Chair, I believe we can only take amendments up one at a time because we're working off of an amendment.
Right. We're getting too far removed. So,
correct.
So we need to take up the H92A7 amendment.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
And we need to have discussion on that, and then we will adopt that amendment, and then we'll be moving the A8 after that's adopted. Is that the way we're headed here?
Mr. Chair, I believe that's the correct way to proceed.
Okay. So,
Mr. Chair, this is Nancy.
Ms. Conley?
You've already adopted the House language, so you're working from the House language. The A7 is an amendment to the House language that's already adopted, so an A8 amendment to the A7 is in order.
Okay, so we're in order
then. I think you want to move the A7 and then move the A8 as an amendment to the A7, and then you move the then you vote on the A7. Sorry about that.
Okay, so Representative Mariani, because we did adopt. Okay, so we now will, Representative Mariani is going to move the H92A7 amendment.
Mr. Chair, I would so move. And then should I move the amendment to the amendment, or do you want me to describe the A7?
Be in order, because I was in error thinking that we were one step too far. So you want to move the A8 to get the A7 in the order you would like. Okay, so
Mr. Chair, I will move the A8 amendment to the amendment.
Okay, that motion is before us, and if you could explain the amendment.
Mr. Chair, very simple amendment. It fixes some appropriations. There's a $14,000. To the Post Board to administer the pilot project related to police and mental health crisis teams. And then there's $137,000 added to the Post Board's base for fulfillment of these provisions.
Okay, any discussion on the A8 amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried.
No.
No.
Motion carried. Now we have the A7 amendment as amended before us.
Mr. Chair,
everybody take a deep breath just so we do it right. That's the important thing. If you could explain where we're at now, Representative Mariani, with your amendment as amended.
Mr. Chair, the A7 amendment reintroduces the peer counseling and critical incident management team language. This is part of the peer-to-peer counseling recommendations that came from the Attorney General Department of Public Safety Working Group earlier this year. It's also related to language that the Senate is moving this year in public safety. There's also an officer-involved death board that we had been calling a critical incident review prior to this, and it clarifies the appointment of that board by Department of Public Safety in terms of the terms, the possibility of reappointment, and it clarifies that the board is required to establish written procedures to ensure data is kept private and that there are audit trails. Again, a provision that came from our judiciary conversations. There are mental health training policy changes that move the training hours from 4 to 6, and then also removes autism from the list of training areas. Because we already have an increased autism training in another section of the ad, so to avoid that duplication.
Okay, any discussion on the amendment as amended? Representative Garofalo. I hope you're with us.
Oh, I'm with you, Mr. Chairman. I got you. So as I understand it, we are
back and forth. That's what I meant. If you're with us, yeah.
Oh no, I'm here. I'm fully here. Trust me. We are on final passage of the bill now, right?
Representative Mariani.
No, Mr. Chair, no, we're not. We're on the amended A7 amendment.
We have to amend it or vote on it as amended. That's where we're at.
So, Mr. Chairman and Representative Mariani, if you could, for future amendments, when you're introducing the amendments, just please refer to the name in the upper right-hand corner so that we're all on the same page. So we're on A. So we're A8 was adopted. The 1SSH0092A8 amendment was adopted, and now we're on the A7 amendment as amended.
That's right.
Thank you. That's what I meant by Representative Garofalo, if you were following us. So
apparently I was on the wrong page, Mr. Chairman.
Well,
or the right page, and I was on the wrong page. I don't know.
So both the minority lead and the chair were working their way through it. Okay, so now that any further discussion on the amendment as amended?
Mr. Chair?
I hear a voice.
Representative Poppy here.
Oh, okay.
I just have a question. So now I'm confused. So are we on House File 93 or House File 92? And the amendment, I thought we were on 93, and this was the A7 amendment to House File 93. But are we on 92? So just my question.
Mr. Chair, Representative Poppy, we're on House File 92.
The amendment as we're on it as amended.
Is that technically we're on Senate File 1, Mr. Chairman, correct?
The Senate file, but we're on the amendment. Yeah, we inserted. I'm not sure I followed Representative Poppy's.
I'm just wondering which actual bill we were on, but I think it's been stated, so thank
we're
you.
We're on Senate File 1, and we inserted the House language in Senate File 1, and now we're dealing with the amendment, the A7 amendment, as amended.
Thank you.
Is everybody clear on that? And did I state that correctly, Representative Mariani?
Mr. Chair.
The question is, then, do we have any discussion on the amendment? My wife went out a door, and it was automatic lock that didn't click, so I had to take care of that. So this turned out to be an interesting meeting. Any discussion or questions? Jerry.
I was going to suggest that maybe we take a 10-minute recess until we figure everything out.
Well, I think we have it figured out now.
Yep.
Representative Mariani, we have the amendment before us, the A7 amendment as amended. So any discussion on the amendment? It just came up, your name just came up, Jerry, at first, Representative Hertaus. So we're clear on the record. Representative Hertaus? Any further comment? Okay, any further discussion?
No, thank you. I answered. We're done. Thank you.
Okay, I think everybody's clear on we're voting on the amendment right now as amended. So any further discussion? Hearing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
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 Is that orchestrated that it gets so long and drawn out? Because I end up calling the...
No.
No. Vote often.
Done. Motion carried. Okay, now we have... Representative Mariani.
Thank you.
I'm glad this bill was in such great shape when it came to Ways and Means. Representative Mariani.
Mr. Chair, quite frankly, members, I apologize. What threw me is the movement of House files into Senate files. And that's a pretty late development. And so I apologize. On top of that, I pulled up an A7 amendment from another bill and then set us off in another track until our staff got us back on track. But we are, in fact, working on a Senate file.
Frustrated with the last bit of it there, but we got through it. Okay. Representative Mariani, let's move forward.
So, Mr. Chair, Senate File 1, which was House File 92, has several key components related to the training of officers, to community-led public safety program, and to the creation of an officer-involved death review board, as well as a peer-to-peer counseling a program for peace officers under stress, and then a mandatory use of force reporting provision. It's basically our way to both strengthen our existing ways in which we can help those in the profession be better at what they do, and to do it differently, as well as to bring in a greater way our communities to be part of public safety. So with that, members, and I should then also, because we are Ways and Means, be clear that there are several appropriations here that total for the remainder of this biennium of a little over $15 million. And then out in the tails, we're looking at 30.290 provisions.
Okay, any discussion on the bill as amended? Representative Graffel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And maybe we'll call this the Ways and Means Repair Shop if bills keep coming in like this, huh? So, Mr. Chairman and members, I'll be voting no and recommend my colleagues vote no on this. This bill has $30 million in general funds that are not accounted for, as well as policy language that is not consensus or collaborative oriented. I would urge a no vote. Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, clerk will take the roll.
Representative Carlson.
Carlson, aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson.
Olson, aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo.
Garofalo, no.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright.
Albright, no.
Albright, no. Representative Bernardi.
Bernardi, aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids.
No.
Davids, no. Representative Dabney.
Dabney, aye.
Dabney, aye. Representative Druskowski.
Druskowski, no.
Druskowski, no. Representative Eklund.
Eklund, aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton.
Hamilton, no.
Hamilton, no.
Hamilton, no.
Hamilton, no. Representative Hansen.
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman.
Hausman, aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas.
No.
Hertas, no. Representative Hornstein.
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha, excused. Representative Liebling.
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly.
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long.
Long, aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani.
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt.
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Knorr.
Knorr, aye.
Knorr, aye. Representative Pawlowski.
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Poppy, aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher? Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, no.
Schumacher, no. Representative Scott, excused. Representative Torkelson?
Torkelson, no.
Torkelson, no. Representative Vogel?
Vogel, no.
Vogel, no. Representative Wagenius?
Wagenius, yes.
Wagenius, aye. 18 ayes, 9 nays.
The motion prevails, and the bill is on its way to general orders. We now have the third public safety bill before us. We received Senate File 104, came to us today. We're going to have to line that up with House File 93. So these are going to be similar motions to the previous bill, but there are some amendments as well. So we'll have to be careful as how we work through those, Representative Mariani, so we don't have confusion. So Representative Mariani, you want to make your first motion?
Chair, I'll move that Senate File 104 be referred to the General Register.
Okay, that motion is before us. Representative Mariani.
Mr. Chair, I would then move that the language in House File 93 be substituted into Senate File 104.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
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 Motion carried. Representative Mariani, do you have an author's amendment?
Mr. Chair, I do have the A7 amendment that I had mistakenly picked up because it was another A7 of the other bill. So I would move that amendment, and then there's an amendment to that amendment as well.
Okay, so the motion is before us. Do you want to take the amendment to the amendment?
Mr. Chair and members, yes, I would move the A11 amendment to the A7 amendment.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Would you care to explain the amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair. This is an appropriation of $120,000 in fiscal 21 to the Bureau of Mediation Services for rulemaking and other costs related to the grievance procedure identified in this act, and it's added, $47,000 is added to the Bureau's base.
Okay, the motion before us, any discussion? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we're on A11, which is amending A7.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
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 Okay, the motion prevails. Representative Mariani, any discussion now on the amendment as amended?
Mr. Chair, this was the A7 amendment that I prematurely identified earlier that spoke to a few data collection and regulatory policy changes that go to the way in which we are designing the console within the Pulse Board to be able to operate, including making sure we were listening to Judiciary Committee recommendations on data privacy, the data audits, and liability for data. There's also a residency requirement for police officers in the act. And this language makes it real clear that it applies to police officers and that it applies to new hires of police officers. And then there's a critical component here that describes the chokehold, what a chokehold is, when and how it would be authorized. So really defining and limiting the chokehold provisions. And then there are three appropriations $475,000 for the Police Excellence Report database that's being created as part of the accountability and transparency design of the Pulse Board relative to police misconduct and discipline actions. There's $1.9 million for local units of government who are mandated to establish these citizen oversight councils if they have 50 police officers in their jurisdiction or more. And then there's a small appropriation of $17,000 for the Pulse Board itself for costs that are associated with the provisions within this act. So, Mr. Chair, members, that's the A7 amendment.
Okay. Any further discussion on the A7 amendment as amended? Seeing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
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 Motion carried.
It's close.
Mr. Chair, I have two other amendments.
Mariani, yes, you have two amendments on behalf of a couple of other members, as I understand it. So you want to take the A8 amendment.
Mr. Chair, I would move the A8 amendment. And Mr. Chair, this is actually a simple amendment. Last year, we created the in session law, the Indigenous Women's, the task force had missing and murdered Indigenous women. Strong bipartisan support, both bodies were supportive of this. And the intent of this amendment is to make sure that the appropriation, because they got a late start, be available through 2021. Unfortunately, Mr. Chair, the amendment itself was not drafted correctly. We have 2022 in three provisions. And so with the indulgence and I guess okay of the committee, I would ask that we make an oral amendment to this amendment to replace the three instances where we see 2022, which would take us outside of the current biennium, and make it 2021. That would then put this amendment in the shape and the intent of making sure that this task force can complete its work before the end of the biennium.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that amendment and ask for member support.
Thank you.
Motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. We now have the A8 amendment before us as amended. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I would ask members to support the amendment.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Now we have an amendment by Representative Long, the A10.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move the A10 amendment.
Okay, the motion is before us. If you could explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment is to the Citizen Oversight Council provision. That includes a recommendation from our last hearing in public safety from Lead Johnson to have best practices published on selection and training of council members. Also makes clear that applicable grievance procedures apply after any discipline issued by citizen councils, and then clarifies the interaction with another provision that was in the bill.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Mariani, any further comments then about the bill?
Mr. Chair, this bill has some critically big and important provisions inside of it. The foremost among them is the reformation, if you will, of the Pulse Board itself, which is our state licensing body regulating the professional conduct of of our licensed police officers in our state. It creates a whole process by which there's strong citizen involvement and participation along with law enforcement in reviewing critical data in order to make both policy changes as well as to intervene early and effectively where there are flags of pattern behavior in regards to the use of force to be harmful to the public, all done within the constraints of data privacy, so that the issue in terms of knowledge of the individual police officer still resides at the local level. There's also another big major reform with the creation of, this is a Representative Gomez provision, of the creation of citizen oversight councils that will assist local law enforcement in a number of ways, including reviewing police, community policing work, as well as recommending and acting on disciplinary issues. There is a provision here on arbitration reform where we are redesigning the way in which those mediators are chosen to make sure that they meet certain levels of competency, of knowledge of law enforcement, but also of knowledge of multiracial community dynamics, and then moving those into a random process so as to remove the sort of perverse incentive that exists now for arbitrators to basically split the difference all the time. And so the point is that the facts in the case should be dictating those decisions. And then finally, there's a number of individual, not systemic level, but individual reforms that are nonetheless very important. The reform around chokeholds and the use of chokeholds, as we all know, it was a form of that that led to the killing of Mr. George Floyd. There is a duty to intercede and report. We already have that with our sheriff's department, who are guided by national standards, but not necessarily with other local jurisdictions. There is a police residency reform that would allow local jurisdictions to establish residency requirements for prospective hires. There is a quote-unquote warrior training style ban. This is a style of training our law enforcement to maximize the use of deadly force, and that implants in the image of our peace officers the idea that who they're policing are citizens that they should be afraid of. And then there is a statutes of limitations repeal for wrongful death lawsuits that would allow individuals to have their day in court, not in criminal court, but in civil proceedings, if they believe that the killing of a police officer, of their family member, was the result of a wrongful action. So a number of big individual cases coupled with big systemic change. I really believe, members and Mr. Chair, that if we're going to get serious about accountability and build a system that is highly responsive based on transparency and the smart use of data, collection and analysis, this proposal puts that forward powerfully. Then the last thing I'll say, just as I did with the others, I want to point to the spreadsheet. There are four provisions identified in the spreadsheet that total $2.5 million for the remainder of this biennium, and then in the tails for the next biennium would be $3.9 million. Mr. Chair, that's good. I appreciate your support.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Representative Groffel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Representative Mariani. In addition to the fiscal concerns, I have serious concerns with the policy in this bill. But as this bill is being merged with others tomorrow morning, I'll address those concerns then and ask members to vote no. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Representative Mariani, would you care to renew your motion?
Mr. Chair, I would renew my motion that Senate File 104, First and Grossman, as amended, be referred to the General Register.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any further discussion? You see none. This will require a roll call, so the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Carlson.
Carlson, aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson.
Olson, aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo.
Garofalo, no.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright.
Albright, no.
Albright, no. Representative Bernardi. Representative Bernardi.
Bernardi, aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids.
Davids, no.
Davids, no. Representative Dabney.
Dabney, aye.
Dabney, aye. Representative Drazkowski.
Drazkowski, no.
Drazkowski, no. Representative Eklund.
Eklund, aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton.
Hamilton, no.
Hamilton, no. Representative Hansen.
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman.
Hausman, aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertaus.
Hertaus, no.
Hertaus, no. Representative Hornstein.
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha, excused. Representative Liebling.
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly.
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long.
Long, aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani.
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt.
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor.
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski.
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy.
Poppy, aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher. Representative Schumacher.
Schumacher, no.
Schumacher, no. Representative Scott, excuse.
No.
Oh,
no.
Representative Scott, no. Representative Torkelson.
Torkelson, no.
Torkelson, no. Representative Vogel.
Vogel, no.
Vogel, no. Representative Wagenius.
Wagenius, aye.
Wagenius, aye. 18 ayes, 10 nays.
Okay, motion prevails, and the bills are on their way to general orders. Representative Mariani, while I have you before us, while you're on the committee anyway, because we did have that confusion, would you make sure that you and your staff look over the bills to make sure that they're exactly the way you want them? As everybody knows, I have to sign the committee reports, and I usually review them myself. But in this case, because of the confusion, I would appreciate it if you'd have your staff review them to make sure that everything is correct before I sign the reports. So if you could do that, I'd appreciate it.
I'll do it, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Thank you, members.
Yeah, because we are the last stop, and it's important that we have a good product when it hits the House floor. So appreciate that. The next bill is Representative Noor, House File 132. Representative Noor, would you care to make a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House File 132 to be recommended to be placed on the General Register, Mr. Chair.
Okay, that motion is before us, and you do have an amendment. Do you want to take the amendment first?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Why don't you move the amendment then, Representative Noor?
Mr. Chair, I move A1 amendment.
Okay, that motion is before us. And now we do have other amendments before us.
Mr. Chair?
Just wanting to make sure we don't get confused again.
Mr. Chair, this is Nancy.
Yes.
Did you move the DE1?
No, we did not move the DE1, so I shall move the DE1, Mr. Chair.
But I want to make sure I've got the roadmap here before we go too far. So you're going to move the DE1 amendment. Then we have a series of other amendments that follow. Just trying to think of the best way so people don't get confused again with all of these additional amendments.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a favor of you?
Yes, go right ahead.
Mr. Chairman, as I'm looking at House File 132, it appears that there's going to be five separate amendments to this bill. Is that correct?
There's a series of them. Five.
Representative Knorr, is there any way you can just work with nonpartisan research and get this incorporated into the delete all amendment so we're not going through all these? Or, I mean, is that an option? I mean, it's your delete all amendment, so just incorporate it into your delete all.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Knorr.
If there's a procedural way that we can incorporate all those five amendments, I'll be more than happy to accept that. Maybe the staff can help us.
Representative Knorr, what I'm suggesting is we'll move on to the next bill on the agenda item. In the meantime, work on your delete all amendment. Just get all those changes incorporated into it and then come back and do it when you're ready.
That'd be a question of staff if they could do that in the time that remains. I would be open to that. Otherwise, we'll have to take them one at a time, but just be careful that we are.
Mr. Chairman, I was just trying to help. Never mind.
I understand. Yep. Thinking of the time. Maybe the way we are now, we've got the DE1 amendment that's been moved, and then we'll just take these one at a time because we can't go too far removed. So Representative Knorr moves the DE1 amendment, and then let's take the first amendment to the amendment. That would be your A2 amendment then, Representative Knorr.
No, Mr. Chair, it should be the A1 amendment, at least on the annotated.
Yes, Mr. Chair. It's A1 amendment.
Well, we've got the DE1 amendment. We can adopt that. And then we move to amend the DE1 amendment with your following amendments. Is that the way you'd like to proceed?
No, Mr. Chair, I wanted to adopt the amendment to the DE1 before we adopt the DE1, Mr. Chair.
Okay, so the DE1 is before us, and then going back to what I was saying earlier, you're moving the A2 amendment to the amendment.
I think there's a slight confusion. There's an A1 amendment before that, Mr. Chair.
We can do it either way. We can vote on the DE1 amendment, and then you would be amending the DE1 amendment. That would be an approach.
Mr. Chairman, I believe what Representative Knorr is trying to say is that there is a DE1 amendment, but then there is also a A1 amendment to the DE1 amendment, as well as an A2, an A3, an A4, and an A5. And maybe staff can clarify if I'm incorrect or right on that.
Okay, you've moved the DE1 amendment, and then you want to move the A1 amendment next?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay, I'm just trying to follow the script or the way you've got it here. Okay, so we'll move the A1 amendment. Representative Knorr moves the A1 amendment to the DE one amendment.
That's the way you. My motion, Mr. Chair.
Okay, that motion is before us. If you could explain the amendment.
Mr. Chair, the A1 amendment adds the responsibility for the insurers to provide the reporting to the commissioner. That's the section of the article, Mr. Chair.
Okay, any discussion on the amendment? Representative Hertaus.
I did not have my hand raised, sir.
Oh, it's okay. Now it's disappeared. Okay, any discussion? Okay, we'll go to a vote. All those in favor of the A1 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed?
No.
Motion carried. Okay, now we have the A1 as amended. Do you want to go now to the A2 amendment?
That's correct, Mr. Chair. I move A2 amendment.
Okay, that motion is before us. And could you explain the amendment?
Mr. Chair, the A2 amendment inserts the title to the bill, Mr. Chair.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion?
Attorney General's Office.
No discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And now we have the A3 amendment next. Representative Knorr, would you care to move the amendment?
Mr. Chair, I move A3 amendment.
That motion is before us. Would you explain the amendment?
Mr. Chair, the A3 amendment makes some technical corrections to the bill from transfer to make payments and by July 1 to at least quarterly, Mr. Chair.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. The next amendment you have is the A4 amendment.
Mr. Chair, that's also a technical amendment to the bill. Make some corrections to the bill.
Okay, care to make the motion?
I move A for amendment, Mr. Chair.
Okay, that motion is before it. Any discussion? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Knorr, on page line 6 of the amendment, it says delete 40 and insert 15. What does that refer to?
Mr. Chair, we have staff members who can walk us through that section of the amendment.
Which staff would that be?
Mr. Chair, this is Colby Sullivan with House Research.
Mr. Sullivan.
The change from 40 to 15 has to do with the amount of money that's set aside for grants to smaller organizations. So it would reduce the set aside for smaller organizations from 40 to 15% of the funds available each year.
Thank you, Mr. Sullivan.
Okay, any further discussion on the amendment to the amendment? Seeing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. We now have the DE1 amendment as amended before us. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, we have the A5 amendment with Representative Dabney, please.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just going to top your amendments, and then we'll go to Representative Dabney next. Or is that part of the series?
It's part of the series, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Well, then we'll go there. Representative Dabney.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I'm wanting to make sure I've got the correct amendment. I'd like to move the A5 amendment.
That's correct.
Thank you.
And this aligns the provisions, the property tax provisions in the bill with the existing disaster abatement statute. And I'd ask for member support.
Okay, that Representative Daphne then has moved the A5 amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
I think, Representative Nora, then that completes the amendments to the DE1 amendment.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. We now have the amended DE1. I believe this is a defining challenge of our time. The Promise Act offers a multi-pronged approach to rebuild the areas impacted by the civil unrest. I believe it's our duty, it's our obligation, it reflects our deepest value and commitment. This is a comprehensive economic recovery package. Let us not forget why we're here today. A man is dead who should not be dead. The death of George Floyd in the hands of Minneapolis police. Quite frankly, no human being deserves that ever. And every human being deserves to breathe. We cannot condone the damage and destruction caused by the civil unrest, but what we must not ignore the despair and hopelessness that gives to the rise to this kind of events. Where we go from here really defines who we are, and it really matters. When there's no hope, anger and despair moves in. We must not ignore the underlying issues of poverty, inequity, and exclusion that have been persistent in our state. People of color, indigenous, and black and brown feel powerless in the face of a system that is rigged against them and that opportunities to build a better life are non-existent. That systemic racism is rampant in our system. And while we don't promise equal outcome, we have to strive to deliver equal opportunity. I really appreciate most of you coming to see the destruction and damage caused by the civil unrest. Indeed, the size, scope, vastness of the damage poses the most significant challenges our state has faced. And our response should be as equal to rebuild, to restore our cities, our communities, our economy, to rebuild the lives of the people in the Twin Cities. This is our commitment, Mr. Chair. We owe it to the Minnesotans to tell them what we are for and what we are against. That's what Minnesotans deserve. That's what the time demands. It's not enough anymore to just say we can't do anything at this moment of need. Mr. Chair, there are 7 articles in this bill. The Article 1 establishes community repair panel to consider claims for damage and harm resulting from the civil unrest. Article 2 creates financial assistance program that will give quick resources to the businesses affected in the civil unrest. Article 3 creates Metropolitan Area Redevelopment Corporation, MAC, as a political subdivision of the state development for short-term and long-term. Article 4 creates an opportunity for the Department of Commerce to assist the public who are impacted by the civil unrest, and also creates an opportunity to provide reporting by the insurers. Article 5 creates caps of the rent for both commercial and residential properties that are eligible to receive funding from the state due to the civil unrest. Article 6, Mr. Chair, allows Minnesota and St. Paul to acquire an eminent domain property in specific affected areas and then resell the property to private parties subject to redevelopment agreement and support the ability of the businesses users directly and adversely affected by the civil unrest. Mr. Chair, Article 7, this article provides sales tax exemptions and property tax relief for properties and businesses damaged or destroyed during the civil unrest. With that, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to ask physical analyst to explain the spreadsheet that you have in front of you.
Yeah, we can do that, and then we need to adopt the DE1 amendment as amended.
It's part of the D amendment, Mr.
Yeah,
Chair.
I understand that. Yes, I say we need to do that. And then just so we're clear, we need to adopt the amendment after the explanation. So. Who is going to, was that Mr. Marks that's going to do that or?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Sorry, I'm getting back on here. First, the spreadsheet goes that the spreadsheet that you have shows the various costs, the spending items, the special master awards in Article 1 is $125 million, and the administrative cost is $5 million. The civil unrest immediate relief program in Article 2, the grants that the Department of Employment and Economic Development is making is $167.57 million. The property tax abatements, the A5 amendment changes that line. It says 1.3 million on the spreadsheet. It will now be 6.4 million there. The valuation freeze is the 22 and 23. The A5 amendment also changed those numbers. The 90,000 would become 150,000. The 50,000 would become 100,000. And then there's actually a reduction in disaster property tax credits. Of $1.5 million in fiscal 22. And then the revenue change, there's an exemption for sales tax on construction projects, and that's estimated at $1.13 million a year in fiscal years 21, 22, and 23. So net general fund cost, which shows up here as $300 million, would actually be $305.1 million in 2021, and the 900,000 will be a little over 1 million instead of 900,000 with the changes there. The note on the bottom, we have some rough estimates for the Metropolitan Redevelopment Corporation sales tax provisions, and if it's levied in all counties, is estimated to raise $59.3 million in a calendar year. The calendar year obviously would be split between fiscal years, and there's also some delay in when that comes in. The footnote addresses that. And then there's a sales tax exemption affects the legacy funds, too, by about $70,000 a year.
Okay, are there any remarks? Representative Hanson.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Marks. There were a number of businesses that were damaged during the civil unrest in my district in West St. Paul. And I know that the county has been tallying the total amount. There was also some public property that was damaged, I believe, the Western Service Center in Apple Valley. So through all these provisions, do the expenditures allow, are they only in Hennepin and Ramsey County, or is it wherever there was damage taking place?
Mr. Chair, I'm probably not the best one to answer that question.
Mr. Chair, this is Kathy Schill, House Fiscal Analyst. To answer Representative Hansen's question, the bill includes all properties that were affected and addressed by the governor's executive order 64. So it includes not only Hennepin and, City of Minneapolis and St. Paul, but surrounding communities as well. So the answer to your question is yes, it would take that into account.
Thank you.
Any further questions of Michelle or Mr. Marks?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Graffel.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, the tax provision that is listed in the spreadsheet, my understanding was that was removed in one of the committees. Can someone update me on the status of that sales tax increase?
Michelle, would that be your purview. I know you staff the tax committee.
Mr. Chair and members, Ms. Templin, I believe, is online as well. Perhaps we can wait for her to unmute.
Mr. Chair, Cynthia Templin, House Fiscal Staff. I can testify to what happened in the House Tax Committee. In the House Tax Committee, there was an amendment to change the local sales tax from the county transit tax to a new tax. To a new tax, and the new tax, the local sales tax, is in the House File 132.
Okay, we need somebody to mute or something, or getting some feedback there. Did that answer the? Did Ms. Hamlin answer the question?
Mr. Chairman and Ms. Templin, my understanding was the tax was completely removed in one of the finance committees. Didn't this get deleted out of the bill in the jobs committee?
Anybody have that information?
Mr. Chair, this is Alex Hagler from House Research. The portions of the bill that was heard in the jobs committee, the tax portions were removed for the jobs committee, and it was just discussed to the MARC council. However, in the tax committee this morning, the same bill was heard where the tax committee did discuss the tax provisions. As Ms. Templin said, the county transportation tax was replaced with the tax that is now in Article 3.
And Mr. Chairman and Ms. Templin, if you could just briefly explain, to me that tax provision. I realize it's not in this bill, but it's referenced in the amendment. What is the? I realize the revenue amount that's raised the tax increase, but what is the tax base it's based off of, and what is the percentage?
Mr. Chair, Representative Garofalo, the local sales tax in House File 32 is a county local sales tax that would be levied at 0.125%, and it would be based on a reverse. Counties would, and I will defer to Ms. Hagler to explain, there is a reverse referendum process that counties need to follow. But if the voters do approve the county sales tax in November, it could be implemented in January. If the tax is implemented in January at 0.125% within the counties, within all seven counties, the Department of Revenue estimates for calendar year 21, if all seven counties levy the tax for a total of 12 months, the estimated revenue gain is $59.3 million. And that's an estimate for calendar 2021. The revenue estimate does not provide an estimate for years after fiscal or after calendar year 21 because for various reasons, one being because the May interim budget projection doesn't have there's not a forecast in the out years.
And Mr. Chairman and Ms. Templin, thank you very much for that. The revenue that is raised in the event that this sales tax increase went into effect, the money that's raised, does it go into a seven-county consortium, or does it stay in the individual counties? Where does the money go?
Representative Garofalo, the revenue raised is retained by the Department of Revenue, and the Department of Revenue or the MMB transfers the money that is collected from the counties to the Metropolitan Area Redevelopment Corporation.
Mr. Chair, sorry, I'm just going to clarify just a few things that Ms. Templin was talking about. This is Alex Hagler from House Research. So the tax itself will operate similar to a local option sales tax, and it will only be imposed in the 7-county metro. And the rate is 0.125%. And the portion of the reverse referendum is the tax will automatically be imposed starting January 1, 2021, unless a certain percentage of the voters from those counties submit a petition to the county auditor to say that they want the tax to go on the November 3rd ballot. And at that point, if that happens and the voters approve the tax, then the tax will be imposed on January 1. However, if the voters of the county do not approve it, then there will be no tax imposed. And as far as the revenue from the tax will go straight into an account that will, the Commissioner of Revenue will deposit into this account, and the Commissioner of MMB will transfer out of the account to the MARC for purposes specified by their bylaws and the endeavors they're trying to accomplish.
Representative Garofalo, does that...
Sorry, the MARC would then take the proceeds and would then redistribute those across the 7-county metro based on their bylaws.
Mr. Chair and members, that's correct. Although I do believe that they will be able to distribute it outside of the 7-county metro for purposes that they see fit.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Dakota County already pays for everything else. We might as well pay for more. Thank you.
Each of us who has a county probably has the same perception. Representative Hertaus.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. And my question was concerning around the tax as well. There was discussion about the transit tax in GovOps yesterday, and I realize this has moved through different committees. But I'm still not clear if this is a general sales tax applicable to all items that are currently taxable, or is there a certain segment of retail sales that this tax is directed at? Is it a general 0.125% over all sales?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hertaus, that's correct. It would apply just like any other sales tax would apply. So any sale that's taxable in made in the county or deliveries that are made to the county.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Ms. Hagler. Representative Neuer, I don't have the bill directly in front of me with regard to the provisions of this tax. Is there any sunset provision on this tax once a certain amount of money has been raised? Minnesota has a pretty bad reputation of temporary taxes never really being temporary, and they persist for decades. So is there any sunset provision in the bill? I'm sorry to have to ask you that.
Mr. Chair, I believe there is a sunset to the tax collection. Staff can help me quickly pull. I can look at the bill right now.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hertaus, there is no sunset for the tax, or the committee. It will be ongoing after it's enacted.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Hagler and Representative Neuer. So this new area redevelopment committee is kind of like another CTIB. Kind of another runaway train, if you might so to say. What basis should other local communities after the restoration has occurred to justify continuing this redevelopment authority that probably will occupy most of its energies and efforts on concentrating and growing the inner city, which we've just learned through COVID-19 is a bad place to live where you have high density population. So I would have real concerns about creating such an organization. It's going to be another entity that's going to be hard to restrain and hard to control and be another Met Council central planning kind of thing. I really, really want to help your constituents, and I want to figure out a way to do it, but I'm not on board about this idea. Thank you.
Okay, Representative Houseman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mine also relates to the new sales tax, but as it relates to Representative Hansen's earlier question.
If his county should choose not to impose the tax, by the way that was described, would his damage in his county still then be eligible, as he was assured earlier?
Representative Knorr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think staff wanted to respond to that question.
Mr. Chair and members.
Self each time, perhaps, if anybody wants to follow up.
The sales tax isn't, from what I understand, the sales tax isn't going directly to just rebuilding buildings that were that were destroyed. The sales tax is going towards funding the bigger purposes of the MARC corporation. I believe maybe you might, Representative Houseman, you might be referencing the sales tax exemptions that are in a different article. Is that correct?
Well, as I understood earlier, Representative Hansen had asked, if there's damage in his, and I think it was West St. Paul, would he be eligible, or is it only Hennepin and Ramsey? And he was assured that surrounding communities would as well. But my understanding was, so you're saying this new sales tax imposed is not going to be used for that purpose to repair the damage?
Mr. Chair and Representative Houseman, I'm not sure if Deb Dyson is on the line here. She has a better understanding of the MARC, but it doesn't look like she is.
Mr. Chair, if I may interrupt, this is Pat Dalton with House Research. I think what Representative Houseman is talking about is the immediate sales tax exemption for rebuilding, which is in, I believe, Article 7. And that is funded, that's a refundable sales tax exemption for anybody who experienced damage. And that is funded out of the state general fund.
Is that?
Well, I thought we were talking about two things. I mean, the sales tax exemption you're saying for construction. But I was talking about, I was understanding that we were raising a new sales tax that was going to be used for the costs of this of the damage repair. So there are two tax issues. Maybe I'm not understanding that correctly.
Chair and members, Anna Shaleen from House Research. Article 3 with the MARC program is actually intended to be more of funding long-term redevelopment in these areas, in affected areas, rather than immediate replacement for damages from these specific civil unrest.
Okay,
which is
thank you.
Primarily in Articles 1 and 2 in the programs there.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Scott.
Can you hear me, Mr. Chair?
I can.
Okay, good. So my question was to Representative Knorr, and I'm just wondering if, Representative Knorr, would you be open to putting a sunset date for this board and for the tax? I mean, once the community is brought back and it's restored, why would we need to continue on?
Representative Knorr.
Mr. Chair and members, I think there was a reason why Mark had the openness going through the seven articles. One of the reasons is to ensure there's equitable process of helping small businesses, helping long-term and also short-term, to ensure that there's equitable appropriation and resources to help businesses. And I think that is something that we can continue to have the conversation. So this is something that is much needed, especially given that many communities don't have access to resources, don't have access to legislative process to come to get direct appropriation. So I believe this is a foundation that most of the communities who need help right now and into the future, so that we can debate on the issues of addressing equity in our state.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I might be confusing some of the bills that have been added to your bill now. But when I was down there two Saturdays ago and talked to some of the community leaders, there were leaders that we spoke to that were already on boards that helped get the businesses up and running that were, you know, many years ago, and help them get established and help them sprout their businesses. And so I'm wondering why we need to pile on to that when there are already these existing entities down there that help with this very same thing. And I think I'm like Representative Hertas, we want to help the people of your community, but to fund, have a tax for an infinite amount of time, and this board for an infinite amount of time. Is this the same board that determines, that's the 9-person attorney board that is not subject to the open meeting laws, that decides where the funding goes? Are we talking about the same board, or is there more than one board in this bill?
Representative.
I think there is quite confusion here. The board that we're talking about is in Article 1, which is my bill. This is a package of bills that were done with various members, which I appreciate the work that they have done. Article 1, that is my bill. And I think I appreciate the work that has been done by staff to get through this process. It's now called Community Repair Panel, which models what we did when we had the 35W collapse, which actually provides quick access to resources for businesses that do not have enough capital or did not get enough payment from the insurance company. So this is 125 with $5 million administrative costs to provide support. So the three to nine members which can be appointed by the governor is what we have in the bill. Those are individuals with qualification expertise to help in legal and business process. Mr. Chair, we also have a bill which was put together by Representative Dabney. If you wanted to understand, that is Article 2 and some of the various components in Article 2.
So, Mr. Chair.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Knorr, so it is the same board that I'm thinking of, because, you know, we heard these bills yesterday in Judiciary, and and so it is this same board of not 3 to 9 members. I think it's supposed to be all attorneys, something like that. And so I guess I didn't realize yesterday that there was no sunset date on any of this. And I understand sort of an ongoing need to have something like that, but it seems like it's duplicative of some entities that are already down there, some nonprofits that are already down there. And, you know, we talked a little bit yesterday about the openness of this group and the fact that it's not subject to any open meeting laws, and that it's this quasi-government group that's going to be handling all kinds of taxpayer money, and there's no sunlight at all. So, Representative Knorr, would you be open to adding to this bill to make this group their meeting subject to the open meeting law?
Mr. Chair, to be clear, the community repair panel is different than what we're talking about. They have got a short-term work to do to ensure that they have given the resources to those who need it the most. I think there's a deadline. The panel will be created effective July 1, and they've got specific roles until their roles are done. They no longer exist after that.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Scott.
But thank you. But Representative Knorr, they're the ones that are going to be handling the $125 million, right?
Representative Knorr.
That's correct. That Representative Scott.
So I'll ask my question again. Would you be willing to have that group subject to the open meeting laws so that the public can understand where those funds are going?
Mr. Chair? I just wanted to clarify, if you look under Article 1, the name, the amount to those individuals who are going to receive the fund will be included. That information is available. Quite frankly, they're businesses who don't want their business secrets, their trade secrets, to be available to the public. That's one reason. The second reason is individuals or businesses that who don't feel comfortable because of the harm done to them to come out public, as we have done in various other entities or commissions or panels, they're given that form of protection. But any resources that they get, their name, the amount, will become public in Article 1.
Mr. Chair, I don't want to, you know, this will be my last comment, I guess, and I understand that that's going to be made public, that they will have received it. And there's already provisions in the open meeting laws and the Minnesota Data Practices Act to protect trade seekers and financials. And so that's not an issue here. This is an issue of transparency. $125 million of state taxpayer funds are going to go to your community, and we want to make sure that there's plenty of sunlight on that. And so if the people who own the business, if their names are going to be released after they get the funds, then going into it, it's not going to matter if their names are part of the record that they're being considered for funds. So it's really important to have sunlight on something like this, because it's important for the public to know the process by which these funds are allocated. And if they were done in a fair and equitable way, and not just, you know, you don't want to come back in a couple of years after there's been some blow up there and you find out that there's been some cronyism or something else that's played a part here. And so it's best to always have sunlight on something like this. That's my only final comment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to thank Representative Knorr for taking on the considerable mantle of carrying this bill. I've heard a lot of requests that the tax provisions be sunsetted. I was astounded and continue to be astounded by the generosity and open-heartedness of Minnesotans who are coming into my district with brooms and dustpans and work gloves, with donations of food and diapers and other provisions, because they see that their fellow Minnesotans need that. This immediate weekend after the rioting and looting, I literally had strangers cleaning up broken glass in front of buildings that were still on fire. They showed up, as Minnesotans always have, wherever the need is around the state, and said, what can I do? How can I help? Thankfully, they didn't come and say, oh, how long do I have to stay? They stepped up to the moment and what was needed. And I'd suggest, Mr. Chair, two things. I think if we can agree on a sunset for systemic racism in Minnesota, we can probably agree on a sunset for the tax provisions. Short of that, I think we've got ongoing problems that are deep and profound and will take quite a while to uproot and eliminate. And I'd close, Mr. Chair, if I may, that if members of this committee, who I believe to be of good heart, want to help the impacted areas, not describing them as a bad place to live would be a good place to start. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And Representative Hornstein.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. And I also want to thank Representative Knorr for his work on this. It's an excellent and comprehensive approach to rebuilding and revitalizing our communities. And, you know, I know that I've been around the block on debates around metro sales taxes, certainly for transit over many, many years. And I do expect a good back and forth, a good exchange about that. I know that we differ on that. But what I didn't expect, and I wanted to echo what Representative Dabney said, I think that to describe, I think the quote from one of our members was, because of COVID-19, the inner city is a bad place to live. And, you know, our communities have gone through unspeakable trauma. first with COVID, then witnessing the murder of George Floyd, and then the civil unrest. And so I think it's a time for us to come together and to not make these kinds of pronouncements and these judgments, especially in this moment. So I hope members will not will refrain from comments and judgments like this, because these are thriving communities that had thriving businesses and people that are living and working and having a quality of life and going to school and are making it here in Minnesota like all of us. And so I just, again, very concerned, very disturbed by the comment that was made earlier, and I hope that we can refrain from that. Let's have a good debate about this bill and related bills, but let's refrain from these kinds of judgmental pronouncements, particularly in this moment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hertaus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Hornstein. I think that you were most likely referring to the comment that I made, and I think I regret that what I said was taken out of context. My reference to building big cities and density living has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with this community. My point was about the perpetuation and no sunset with regard to this organization. Once the work and the mission is done, but my concern is that countywide resources will continue to be plowed into the central city. That was my concern. And so please accept my explanation of what I meant by that. I think you're turning something I said or maybe didn't say very well into something that was not intended. Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion? We have to adopt the DE1 amendment as amended. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the DE1 amendment.
Just a second here.
I heard a voice.
Continuing, Representative Carlson.
I got a vote here.
Damn it. I hear a voice, but I don't know who it is.
Representative Carlson, perhaps that was a voice in your head telling you to table all these bills and maybe not advance them. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
This is the Promise Act. I'm quite interested in it. Okay. But at any rate, did you want to comment, Representative Grafflo?
No, I think, Mr. Chairman, I think what happened was Representative Eklund was preparing to vote and his mic was open. That's all that happened. So we can move on.
Okay. I just heard a voice and I didn't know what it was. I was about to go to a vote on the DE1 amendment. No further discussion. All those in favor of the DE1 amendment as amended signify by saying
aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No.
No. No.
Motion carried. We now have the bill before us. Representative Knorr, would you care to renew your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I renew my motion to move House File 132 to the General Register.
As amended.
As amended.
Yeah. You would renew your motion that House File 132, as amended, be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Okay. That's my motion, Mr. Chair.
Okay. And any further discussion? Representative Grafflo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, I'll be voting no on this for the policy considerations, the tax considerations, as well as the inability to account for how this will be spent, paid for. And I would ask members to vote no. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Okay, the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Carlson.
Carlson, aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson.
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
No.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright?
Albright, no.
Albright, no. Representative Bernardi? Representative Bernardi?
Thank you for unmuting me. Aye. Bernardi, aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids?
No.
Davids, no. Representative Dabney?
Dabney votes aye.
Dabney, aye. Representative Drazkowski?
Drazkowski, no.
Drazkowski, no. Representative Eklund?
Eklund, aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
Hamilton, no.
Hamilton, no. Representative Hansen?
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman?
Hausman, aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertaus?
Hertaus, no.
Hertaus, no. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha, excused. Representative Liebling?
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Long, aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy? Representative Poppy?
Poppy, aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, no.
Schumacher, no. Representative Scott?
No.
Scott, no. Representative Torkelson?
Torkelson, no.
Torkelson, no. Representative Vogel?
Vogel, no.
Vogel, no. Representative Wagenius?
Wagenius, yes.
Wagenius, aye. 18 ayes, 10 nays.
The motion prevails, and the bill is way to check orders. Next is House File 108, Representative Nelson. Representative Nelson, would you care to move the bill?
Mr. Chair, I'll move the House File. Get myself here. Be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Okay, Representative Nelson moves that House File 108 be recommended to be placed on the General Register. If you'd care to explain the bill.
Mr. Chair and members, this is a bill that we passed in the regular session. It was House File 4500, and it passed off the House floor, and the Senate ran out of time and didn't take it up the last day of session. But what this does is it, because of the COVID issue, this is basically allowing the MMB to extend grants on an individual basis. There are grants like research grants at the U of M that were dealt with seasonal effects of things, and so they could do their plantings in the spring, so now they have to wait till next year, but the grant might be running out this July 1. Also, there's many nonprofits that had grants that to do work and do things that were postponed because of the COVID, and therefore this gives the MMB the chance to extend those grants. There's only one minor change to this bill that was from when it was passed before, and that had to do with the LCM, LMCR had a concern that they weren't covered by it. MMB thought that they were, but the LCCMR, that's what I was looking for here, but they didn't think they were. MMB thought that they were, but so we make sure there's no confusion. That piece was added to the bill so that it spells out that they are included in the ability to extend some of these grants. And again, it's on an individual basis. The people that get the grants have to go to the MMB, ask for the extension, explain why they have to have the extension. And as those are the bills that we passed it before, there's a report on this at the end of this year that the MMB needs to report back to the legislature, the appropriate chairs of the appropriate committees, which grants were extended and why. And it's basically so that they can continue to do the work that they did. If they didn't get this extension, this money, which is the only real cost to it, is if these grants aren't extended, January or July 1, the money would go back to the general fund. That's really the only cost to that. If they complete their work, it wouldn't go back So that's the only cost, but there is no fiscal note for it because we're assuming that the grants will get extended on an individual basis. And I stand for questions.
Are there any questions? Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, we heard this last session. We heard it in State Government Finance just a couple of days ago. I would support the bill as it's written. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since we and the Senate have passed the LCCMR extensions and it's on the governor's desk, I would hope that the language that's in this bill is identical so that there's not any confusion. So I would ask for review of that. I'll vote in favor of the bill, but I want to make sure we're not having any trip up with language that may be slightly different.
Representative Nelson.
Representative Hansen, if you can give me that, the language, we can make sure when this gets to the floor that the language is the same and if there's no conflicts, then we can adjust it if we have to.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does anybody know what this is going to cost?
Mr. Chair? Representative Drazkowski, there is no cost because these are grants that are already out there. The only cost would be if the grant were to expire and they didn't get the extension, that money would come back to the general fund. But other than that, there is no cost to the bill because these are already grants, research grants, grants to nonprofits that are already been approved and already out there. It's just because of COVID, things have happened that some of these things that were being funded by this could be completed. This just gives them the chance to complete those grants.
Mr. Chair, this is Bill Marks. We had a fiscal note on House File 4500 during the regular session. It came back with blanks in it, and MMB essentially said there are some grants that would cancel. We have no way of estimating what that dollar amount would be at this point.
Okay, Representative Drazkowski, does that?
Well, it does, and certainly, you know, you think about how the situation we're in when these grants were extended by the legislature, we were in a large projected surplus. We're in a large projected deficit now. I think this is very bad policy. I encourage members to vote no.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Nelson, thank you for bringing this bill forward. I would ask, it's a good bill. I'd ask members to vote in favor of it. This is something that those who received these grants were unable to complete these projects, not as a result of laziness, incompetence, or any fault on their own. This is because they simply could not respond and could not get the procurement requests, other behaviors necessary to complete their projects. So this is a good bill, and we should support it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, any further discussion? Representative Nelson, care to renew your motion?
I'll renew my motion that House File 108 be recommended be placed on the General Register.
And is there any further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Carlson?
Carlson, aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Olson, aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Garofalo, yes.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright?
Albright, yes.
Albright, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Bernardi, aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids?
Davids, aye.
Davids, aye. Representative Dabney?
Dabney, aye.
Dabney, aye. Representative Drazkowski?
Drazkowski, no.
Drazkowski, no. Representative Eklund?
Eklund, aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton? Representative Hamilton?
Hamilton, aye.
Hamilton, aye. Representative Hansen?
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman?
Hausman, aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas?
Hertas, aye.
Hertas, aye. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha, excused. Representative Liebling?
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Long, aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Poppy, aye.
Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, aye.
Schumacher, aye. Representative Scott? Excused. Representative Torkelson?
Torkelson, aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative Vogel?
Aye.
Vogel, aye. Representative Wagenius?
Wagenius, aye.
Wagenius, aye. 26 ayes, one nay.
Yeah, motion not prevailed. Bill is on its way to the General Register. The next bill is by Representative Hansen, House File 28. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move that House File 28, First Engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Would you care to explain the bill?
Mr. Chair and members, this is the same Environment and Natural Resources Finance Bill that was voted on the last day of session with two changes. One change is the some technical changes from the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency on some landfill language. And then the other change was in our committee yesterday, $6 million was added of general fund spending for the Minnesota Zoo. Other than that, there's not a general fund appropriations. There are dedicated dollars, the LCCMR. But this committee voted on a very, very similar bill in the session, and then the full House voted. I would ask for your support.
The motion is before us. Is there any discussion? Representative Groffel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I would ask members to follow the guidance they had when this bill first came to the committee. I'll be voting no and recommend that committee members vote no. Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I renew my motion that House File 28, First Engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask for if you had a final motion, so we have it before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none. The clerk will take the roll.
Representative Carlson?
Carlson, aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Olson, aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Garofalo, no.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright?
Albright, no.
Albright, no. Representative Bernardi?
Bernardi, aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids?
Davids, no.
Davids, no. Representative Daphne?
Daphne, aye.
Daphne, aye. Representative Druskowski?
Druskowski, no.
Druskowski, no. Representative Eklund?
Eklund, aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
Hamilton, no.
Hamilton, no. Representative Hansen?
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman?
Hausman, aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas?
Hertas, no.
Hertas, no. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha, excused. Representative Liebling?
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Long, aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani? Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy? Representative Poppy?
Poppy, aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, no.
Schumacher, no. Representative Scott, excused. Representative Torkelson?
Torkelson, no.
Torkelson, no. Representative Vogel?
No.
Vogel, no. Representative Wagenius?
Wagenius, aye.
Wagenius, aye. 18 ayes, 9 nays.
Motion prevails, and the bill is on its way to the general register. We now have House File 111, Representative Koval.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 111 is funding for the
Mr.
national.
Chair, yeah. Sorry to interrupt, Representative Cagle. Should I make the motion? Yeah, get the bill in front of us. Yeah, I move that House File 111, the first engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the general register. And I'm happy to move the amendment now or wait.
Did you get
stuff? Is before us. You want to take amendment now, Representative?
Yes. Okay. Yes, please, Mr. Chair.
Representative Olson, do you want to move
Mr.
the amendment?
Mr. Chair, I move the A2 amendment.
Okay, that amendment is before us. If you could explain the amendment, Representative Pope.
So thank you, Mr. Chair, members. This amendment just says that if any of the provisions in the bill are enacted in any other piece of legislation, then we wouldn't have to go ahead with that. With the it would be effective only once.
Okay, any discussion? Seeing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. If you'd care to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So this House File 111 is funding for the National Sports Center. National Sports Center is a 600-acre multi-sports complex up here in Blaine, and it hosts a various amount of events, local businesses, different semi-pro and sports team. And so because of COVID-19, the sports center has had to shut down most of the events that they rely on for their revenue. And so what this would do is just allow them the would give them $9.7 million to make sure that they are able to continue operating. And then there's also a provision in there for $6 million for the Minnesota Zoo to kind of do the same thing. So with the shortfall of revenue due to the lack of ticket sales, it would keep the zoo whole as well. And so I also have Neil Ladd from the National Sports Center, and I believe there's also some folks from the zoo if any members have questions.
Okay, any discussion? Representative Grothel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Cagle, I want to speak regarding the provisions regarding the Minnesota Zoo. For those that don't know, I know there's different levels of priorities for the appropriations we are seeking. These dollars for the Minnesota Zoo are desperately needed, and desperately is a massive understatement. We need to make sure that they're not in a position where we're going to lose the Minnesota Zoo. But Representative Cagle, I'll be voting no on your bill today, and it's something that you've heard me say a couple times today. We have a multi-billion dollar budget deficit. I certainly understand that using the reserves for part of these expenditures is responsible. I also understand that balancing the budget by using what I call RATs, recognized accounting tricks, that have been happened on a bipartisan basis, that's part of the budget solution. But it's also curtailing the spending increases that are forecasted in our budget. And that sort of balanced approach is how we're going to be able to do things like fund higher priority critical items like the zoo. So I'll be voting no on this, but I would encourage you to work with your colleagues and across the both on the DFL side and the Republican side. This is something that has to happen. We got to get it done right away. But we need to pay for it. We're not the federal government. We have to balance our budget. We can't print money. So I'll be voting no and asking members to vote no on that. Representative Cagle, if you need some spending cut ideas, you got my phone number. I got a long list I can help you out with. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, any further comments? Would you care to renew the motion, Representative Olson?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I renew my motion that House File 111, the first engrossment as amended, be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Carlson.
Carlson, aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson.
Olson, aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo.
Garofalo, no.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright.
Albright, no.
Albright, no. Representative Bernardi.
Representative Bernardi, aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids.
Davids, no.
Davids, no. Representative Dabney.
Dabney, aye.
Dabney, aye. Representative Drazkowski.
Drazkowski, no.
Drazkowski, no. Representative Eklund.
Eklund, aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton.
Hamilton, no.
Hamilton, no. Representative Hansen.
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman.
Hausman, aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas.
Hertas, no.
Hertas, no. Representative Hornstein.
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha, excused. Representative Liebling.
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly.
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long.
Long, aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani.
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt.
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor.
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski.
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy.
Poppy, aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher.
Schumacher, no.
Schumacher, no. Representative Scott, excused. Representative Torkelson.
Torkelson, no.
Torkelson, no. Representative Vogel.
Vogel, no.
Vogel, no. Representative Wagenius.
Wagenius, aye.
Wagenius, aye. 18 ayes, 9 nays.
Okay, the motion carries, and the bill is on its way to general orders.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And Representative Garofalo, next time I'll let Clara present the bill, and maybe she'll sway your vote.
Okay. I'm going to go to a couple of quick announcements here. our caucus leadership has asked that I be sure to adjourn by 7:15 because we have a caucus tonight. I don't know if the Republicans are playing a caucus this evening or not, but we have one. So what I'm going to do, Representative Hansen, I just got the text. Your next bill will be laid over until tomorrow morning. Representative Hansen.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think it would take about 2 minutes. It was passed 16-1 in our previous committee.
Can you guarantee that? I wanted to get some time on the bill that was debated on the House floor before we adjourn.
Representative Garofalo?
Yeah, we can get it done. Let's just get moving right now.
Okay, we'll take it up then. Representative.
Mr. Chair, I would move House File 134, first engrossment, be recommended to be placed in the General Register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Representative Hansen.
This is the dry cleaners bill that was part of the previous bill that we heard, but this is something where we had, through the negotiations, agreement with the Senate, the Dry Cleaners Association, and the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. It passed 16-1 yesterday through the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. I would ask for your support.
Any discussion? Representative Groffel.
Mr. Chairman, this is a negotiated bill and ask members to support it. Thank you.
Okay, would you care to renew your motion, Representative Hansen?
I renew my motion that House File 134, first endorsement, be placed, recommended to be placed in the general register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Carlson?
Carlson, aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Olson, aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Garofalo, aye.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright?
Albright, aye.
Albright, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Bernardi, aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids?
Davids, aye.
Davids, aye. Representative Daphne?
Daphne, aye.
Daphne, aye. Representative Druskowski?
Druskowski, no.
Druskowski, no. Representative Eklund?
Eklund, aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
Hamilton, aye.
Hamilton, aye. Representative Hansen?
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman?
Hausman, aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas?
No.
Hertas, no. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha, excused. Representative Liebling?
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Long, aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Poppy, aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, aye.
Schumacher, aye. Representative Scott, excused. Representative Torkelson?
Torkelson, aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative Vogel?
Vogel, aye.
Vogel, aye. Representative Wagenius?
Wagenius, aye.
Wagenius, aye. 25 ayes, 2 nays.
The motion prevails, and the bill is on its way to the general register. And Representative Hansen, you were correct about 2 minutes. Very good. Thank you. The next bill up is Senate File 47, House File 128 by Representative Marquardt. And this is the bill that everybody is, of course, quite familiar with as a result of the debate on the House floor. At the time, I indicated that it would be today informational and that we would be voting on the bill and the amendment that was talked about on the House floor tomorrow. So Representative Marquardt, could you give us just a quick overview of the bill? And then what I think I'll do if time prevails or is available, perhaps ask MMB if they could make a few quick comments, but they'll be need to be available tomorrow morning as well. And as I mentioned, we have to adjourn for caucus. So Representative Marquardt, I don't think we'll make any more. Just give us an overview of the original bill, and then we'll ask MMB to comment briefly about the amendment that we've been working on and talking about. Representative Marquardt.
So, well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. And so this bill was before the Ways and Means Committee before the end of session. So you're familiar kind of with the background and all those type of things. So I'll just go over basically what the provisions are right now. So if you remember, the federal government directly appropriated $317 million to Hennepin and Ramsey County. Those were not dollars appropriated by the state that was stated on the House floor earlier today. Those monies were directly went from the federal government to Hennepin and Ramsey counties. They were received on, I think, April 22nd. So it didn't go through the state. That was any local unit of government of 500,000 population or more got a direct appropriation from the federal government. That was $317 million. So the thought in the CARES Act said 45% then would go to the local units of government. And so we initially, out of the CARES funding, got $2.186 billion. So if you take that $317 million off, it leaves it with about $1.87 billion. And 45% of that was $667 million. So if you remember that bill that we first had during session was $667 billion. Well, a new Treasury guidance came out and said that that 45% was the total of the 2.186, and that totaled 984. So 984 minus 317 was the 667. What they're saying now is that's what's left at the direct appropriation, which is about 1.87 billion. 45% of that now is $841 million. So that's why we're dealing with a bill that is about $170 million more. So what are the provisions? So Hennepin, Ramsey counties, that direct appropriation of $317 million will stay. The Senate, what they had done originally in their bill was split that also among all of the Hennepin and Ramsey cities. So all the counties and cities in Ramsey and Hennepin, that was their total amount, was $317 million. In this bill, that is now $454 million. It's split 55 to 45%. Counties getting $467 million, cities $350 million, and townships $23 million. So the 55-45 is county-city-township split. That comes to, this is the 85 counties outside the direct appropriation. That comes to $121 per capita for the 85 counties, $75 per capita for cities, and $25 for townships. And that is over 200 population for cities and townships. If you're under 200 population, you apply through the counties. As mentioned on the House floor earlier today, of the county share, 10% must be set aside and appropriated for economic support and financial emergency assistance. So it can go out to businesses and individual. That amount totals about $47 million. And this was not in the Senate bill. This is a recognition that we know not only are there costs for COVID-19 related expenses, but there are also costs to businesses and individuals who are hurt by the COVID-19. So money, counties could customize a program to get those dollars out to businesses and individuals they know would need that the most. One difference between what left the House and what was the final negotiated settlement was we had $100 million that basically went into a second round to look at where there might be hot spots or unanticipated expenses. There is that we were not able to get that in the negotiation. So all $841 million go out, which actually gets the money out quicker to these cities than, and there's no assurance that any of these cities, maybe out of that $100 million would get money. So this money goes out quicker to cities. The idea would be to get the money out by June 30th. And local communities can also collaborate with other ones if they wish. So those are the main provisions of the bill. Last time we talked about what were allowed expenses and weren't not. I don't think we need to go over that today. So that is the Senate File 47.
Okay, that's perfect, Representative Marquardt. And as intended earlier, we would have made a motion and then laid the bill more formally over, but we'll view this as informational, and I do want to spend a few minutes then on the amendment that will be proposed. We'll take questions on the bill tomorrow. Representative Marquardt.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to just review that amendment quickly if I could. So, you know, the Senate File 47 will really help local government cover the costs of COVID-19 expenses and also allow for help for businesses and individuals. But I will tell you that this amendment will make this bill stronger because it will make our local communities healthier, safer, and actually provide a higher quality of life. So, you know, what is in this amendment, this supplemental budget, if you will? And there are some really important areas that I think are worth mentioning here. And I know a lot of members have heard. So one of the funding areas is for personal care attendants. And this would be money that would go out to those folks. It's a 15% increase relating to COVID-19 support services. These are our personal care attendants who serve our most vulnerable citizens, those with disability, those that need help. It would be a one-time 15% increase, 80% would go to wages. Another important part of this is right now, if you are a parent or a step-parent or a guardian of a minor, you cannot get any payment for care. This allows a COVID-19, well, we're in the emergency declaration, that if you are a parent or a step-parent or a guardian of a minor, you now would receive some personal care attendant funding up to 60 days past when the emergency declaration would come into place. That is huge for parents who are taking care of their sons or daughters. Another, and that's $26 million. There is $38 million that go to direct care and treatment. This is those services that go out that serve those with mental illness, developmental disabilities, chemical dependency, very important. Another area is that it increases funding for CCAP, Child Care Assistant Program. This helps our child care providers, and we all know the problems that child care providers are having around the state. This would, and you probably have heard from your child care providers about this in emails. I know I have. This would deal with that. There's an appropriation, that, which is not in the general fund, for the Minnesota Family Investment Program. That would be a one-time $500 assistance, COVID-19 related, to go out to about 28,000 families who are really struggling, as are many, but don't really have the wherewithal to make ends meet. This would help an awful lot. $4 million in this would go to veterans. Go to our veterans to make sure that they have housing so we can eliminate homelessness for our veterans and also help prevent suicide for veterans. That is $4 million in this biennium and $7.5 in the next. Dollars that go to our state patrol for wages, but also for training. Corrections. There's dollars, $18.5 million this biennium and $40 into the next that deals with our correction officers and our community partners, which deal with, of course, those people working in our correctional facilities, but also supervising with probation and those type of things. There's $29 million that deals with the medication-assisted treatment overpayment, and that is where money that went to the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe and White Earth Band of Ojibwe, they were overpaid. The state would cover those dollars. Also, the mental disease overpayment that counties saw. So, I mean, the counties might have to carry this if the federal government would require them to do that. We're saying we're going to cover those costs and help those counties out. There's a number of things that is in there also. These are things, and you know, so people might say, well, you know, does this match up with our COVID bill? I think it does very much so because it's providing some important services, direct services, to people who are served by these services that are in our local communities dealing with COVID-19. And it is going to improve the quality of life in those areas. It helps our most vulnerable. And if you also notice, Article 3 of the amendment are some cancellations from the general fund that are applied to the CARES Act funding. So the general fund cost of this amendment is $146 million of the expenditures. I read most of them. But the transfers out of the general fund to COVID is $148 million. So on the House floor, while we talked for 2.5 hours about how this was going to lead to more in the budget deficit, this amendment actually saves the state $2 million. Let me say that again. This amendment saves the state $2 million. There's no additions to the state budget deficit. So, members, I think this is a strong amendment that deals with our most vulnerable citizens who we represent in our counties, our cities, and our townships. And so I know Commissioner Franz is here and others who can probably explain more details, but I'll tell you what, you look at where that funding goes. It goes to people who need that funding, who are going to use that funding. It's going to help improve quality of life in our communities and make them healthier and safer communities. So, Mr. Chair, I'll stop with that.
Well, thank you, Representative Marquardt. You did a great job of explaining the amendment. As I mentioned earlier, in case anybody missed it, we do have to adjourn for caucus in just a few minutes. Caucus starts at 7:15. So what I was trying to do today was, as the amendment was being drafted, get it posted as early as possible and then lay the bill over until tomorrow so people had a chance to look at it. And I think Representative Marquardt, you did a beautiful job of setting the stage for tomorrow morning. I did ask that Commissioner Franz be here, if he can maybe just give us a quick overview of where the administration is coming at it from. And I hope you can be available for specific questions tomorrow, Mr. Franz. And somebody texted me if they want to comment on the bill. I'm not sure if it's the amendment or the bill, but because we do have to adjourn before 7:15, whoever that person was, as we announced earlier, this is an overview. We will adjourn and have the bill up before us again in the morning. So with that, Commissioner Franz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate the opportunity. I look forward to the questions tomorrow morning. We'll be here bright and early with you. I want to thank Chair Marquardt for his comments and summary, really stated it very well. I mean, what's really important for us is to make sure the entire state of Minnesota was working now. We need the local units of government to be able to function effectively in this COVID emergency, and we need the state of Minnesota to be able to function efficiently. And the requests we have here are really very tailored to meet the very minimum requests that we could make to make sure that we have the necessary resources to get through the rest of this biennium. So we've asked for these, almost all of these, except for maybe the zoo, from the governor's point of view, were in the governor's supplemental budget. They've been around for a long time. They've been talked about. They've been testified about. And like I said, we're happy to answer all the questions. Appreciate Chair Hansen, also including the zoo and his bill as well. We both know that we need to get the zoo taken care of, and I appreciate him doing that. But I just want to say that that Chair Marquardt's summary was perfect in the sense that we need to, this is a balanced bill. It actually takes some money to the bottom line. We wanted to make sure that we paid for these supplemental budget items, and we think it's appropriate for these to get done, and we need to get these done this session in order to avoid some of the difficult problems that Chair Marquardt has talked about. We'll go over the details tomorrow, but I look forward to answering all your questions, and thank you, Chair Carlson, for letting us participate, and I'll see you in the morning.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and one other announcement then before we adjourn. I'm not soliciting amendments, but if anyone in either caucus has an amendment, if you could turn them in by 10 p.m. tonight so that staff can get it in our packets for the morning. So that's an option that's available, and that's one of the reasons that amendment was posted today so people could look at it, understand it, and have an opportunity to ask questions tomorrow then. So with that, let's see. Oh, Representative Grafflo, you had your hand was up.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And we got a couple minutes. Go ahead.
So I have questions for Representative Marquardt and Commissioner Franz, but is your preference that I wait until tomorrow to do that?
That would be so people can get online for the caucus at 7:15.
Okay. And Mr. Chairman, if I heard you right, it sounds like the 10 p.m. deadline for amendments, that would be advisory. It's not a line in the sand, obviously. We're going to need a little bit more time than just under 3 hours. Is that correct?
Well, I try to be somewhat flexible, but I also have to be cognizant of the work of staff. keeping them here late and also getting the information available in the packets. So we try to be if people could meet that 10 o'clock deadline, that would be helpful.
Okay, well, Mr. Chairman, I think I can limit the amendments that will be offered tomorrow if I just get an answer to a couple of questions from Representative Marquardt.
Okay, Representative Marquardt.
Yep. I don't see him. Oh, you're still okay. Yeah. Representative Marquardt, first of all, I want to thank you.
Is he? Representative Marquardt?
I see him now. I'm sorry. Representative Marquardt, I want to thank you for including me in the work group discussions. You put together a bill that was supported by the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities, the League of Minnesota Cities, the Association of Minnesota Counties, the small cities, and it really took a collaborative effort where we listened to each other, we worked together, and it was kind of an example of how we're supposed to do things, right? So obviously, that's changed. Right, we had a bill that passed the Senate 62-4. I'm wondering, just as someone who's been in the legislature, if you could tell me, what sort of message do you think this sends to other legislators when they are tasked with negotiating their bills?
Thank you, Representative Garofalo, and I really do want to thank you for your work, not only during the special session, but during the regular session. It's been very valuable, and I appreciate that. So on the $841 million, we certainly had reached an agreement on that part of things. And especially in a special session, probably different than a regular session, is that there's a lot of different moving targets, and in a lot of ways, things get combined. I mean, if you remember, even in off years, we'll put tax provisions in with all sorts of other provisions. So even though the $841 was certainly agreed on that portion, and there's no changes to anything that was agreed to as far as the 841 part. Here, we think we can make this stronger and get a better effort out of this during special session. In my 20 years, we've had a lot of special sessions, and I'm not going to go into the quote that this isn't all that special, but it's probably more frequent than not that you've got bills that get combined and other things get added to. So I think if we can make a better bill without adding to our budget deficit, I think that's a good effort. That's what you try to do try to make the best legislation you can for Minnesotans.
So, Mr. Chairman, Representative Marquardt, I'll ask you that same question offline because I think we're sending a pretty bad message to members in terms of developing their skills to compromise and work together. But Representative Marquardt, who did you compromise with negotiate with when you passed the amendment, the A5 amendment?
The A5 amendment, right now we're putting that out there because we think this makes a better bill in a better state.
Right, but Mr. Chairman, Representative Marquardt, I'm asking you who you negotiated that with. You didn't write that on your own. Who did you negotiate that with?
Representative Garofalo, Mr. Chair, I don't know if I quite understand that. This was an amendment that was brought forward. I had input on this amendment on some things that were in and out, like I think most legislators would have as they work through, but staff and legislators and so forth. So was it with the Senate? No, I haven't talked to anyone from the Senate.
So, Mr. Chairman and Representative Marquardt, who did you give input to?
Let me chime in here. I wouldn't describe it as negotiations, but I did on the House floor point out that my first exposure to the governor's revised supplemental budget was last Saturday morning. That was a meeting that Commissioner Franz put together with Rosen and myself, and I wouldn't describe that meeting as a negotiating session, but he did walk through as part of that meeting. It was a broader agenda, the governor's supplementary budget, and that was the beginning of my involvement, but I wouldn't really describe it as negotiations. The amendment reflects the governor's supplemental budget. And there's been some back and forth, but I wouldn't describe at least my role as negotiations. We solicited basically the amendment as a result of the MMB's work with the supplemental budget. So I don't know that anybody could really describe it as negotiations, because we're picking up, by and large, the governor's supplemental budget recommendation.
And Mr. Chairman, the question I have for Representative Marquardt, he used the word he gave input. So Representative Marquardt, who did you give input to?
I gave input to House members, leadership. So I don't know if you're trying to, there's been no negotiations with the governor's office. I have not talked to the administration on this. And I always think that an amendment is kind of the start of negotiations, if you will. But I don't see why folks would vote against this. I mean, why would you vote against personal care attendants? Why would you vote against paying parents who are taking care of their kids with a disability? Why would you vote against veterans trying to prevent homelessness and suicide? Why would you vote against the state patrol? Why would you vote against child care providers? And when there isn't an additional cost to the general fund, I don't understand this. When you talk about politics, this sounds like politics to me, when I don't think anyone opposes any of the groups that are going to benefit from this amendment that I just put out there. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. And it is not adding anything to the general fund. So I think when people won't even consider this, and, you know, I heard the discussion on the House floor today, that I think that's politics, not putting out an honest amendment here that is sincerely going to help those people I just listed.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Marquardt.
This discussion can continue tomorrow. We're now 2 minutes away from the beginning of our caucus. So
if I could finish on a positive note, Mr. Chairman.
And then I'll recognize you first tomorrow morning.
If I could just finish on a positive note, Mr. Chairman.
That would be great.
Yeah. So, again, I want to emphasize, Representative Marquardt, it was very nice to work with you in that working group. I thought that us four presented a template for how other legislators should be working on reaching an agreement at the end of session. I'm disappointed that the governor had a hissy fit and is trying to blow up our four terms. But I want to be positive, and I want to thank you, Representative Marquardt. You're a good guy to work with. Representative Chairman Carlson, I also want to thank you. You exhibited exceptional patience today in this committee when members of the majority caucus, they brought bills to this committee in a form that is not acceptable. And that is not, that's not a reflection on you, it's a reflection on them. So I just want to thank you. I want to thank the DFL research staff and the nonpartisan research staff for really trying to cobble together what was a messed up process. And I just want to let my Republican members know that if I'm ever chair in a committee, you will never bring a bill to this committee the way we saw bills come to this committee today. That's not what we do in Ways and Means. So, Mr. Chairman, thank you again for your patience. And I can see the years of service have shown you the right way to do things. So thank you, and we'll continue this conversation tomorrow.
Okay, with that, meeting adjourned.